Happy Sabbath to everyone. It's good to see so many smiling and warm faces. It does make it much easier to get up here and speak, looking out over such a crowd. Do you remember, for some of you, long, long, long time ago, and for some not so long ago, having your parents telling you that you were going to go on a trip? Maybe to an amusement park. Maybe even to another state to visit a relative's house. How about a class trip when you were in school? You remember planning what you were going to do down to the minutest detail when you got there? You remember the anticipation? Has it been a long time since you really anticipated anything? When you could not even wait to get there? Well, as I think back myself, I can hear my younger self saying from the back seat of the car, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And my dad just kind of giving me that look in the mirror like, "Not yet, but just relax. We'll get there." Well, I'd like everyone to turn to Exodus chapter 3 in verse 8. We'll start in Exodus 3. In verse 8, just read this one verse. So it says, "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Here God was telling Moses what his plan was for the Israelites. They were going on a journey. They were going on a trip. Can you imagine their anticipation, knowing that they were headed for the promised land, the land of milk and honey? What promises they were given. Well, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, they actually could have made it to Canaan in a little more than a week. If you look at the map, and even considering the travel that mode that they did, walking and with their animals, and even with 2 million men plus women and children, it still would have been a fairly short journey. But we all know that that journey took them much longer than a week or two. That journey ended up being 40 years. Do you sometimes wonder, how long is our journey? How far do we have to go? Especially when we go through trials. You know, why am I having this trial again? Why do I have to go through this again? Well, today I would like to basically look at the journey that the ancient Israelites took and draw some conclusions from various aspects of that journey that we may learn from, that we may understand what God has planned for us and why He doesn't immediately transport us into the promised land, transport us to eternal life. Moses didn't choose the route because he was confused or lost. Well, we know Moses didn't choose the route anyway. God told him the route to take. But it was depicted in a movie called Exodus, Gods and Kings, starring Christian Bale as Moses. Moses was guided by God every step of the way. Well, God guides us every step of the way also on our journey. But why would God choose a long journey for the ancient Israelites? And why does He choose a long journey for some of us? Well, today let's consider some significant lessons that we may draw from this journey of the ancient Israelites and apply them to our own lives. And in doing so, we may better understand our journey from sin through our conversion and eventually to eternal life in the kingdom of God, our promised land. Understanding this will help us to better anticipate and focus on the lessons that we encounter in our own journey. And they also may allow us to anticipate when we get there, what it will be like. Well, in today's world, efficiency is everything. Everything has to be fast. We have to have it now. Well, the shortest route doesn't necessarily always seem like the correct way to go. But God didn't take the Israelites on the short route. And so one of the reasons, the first reason that we'll look at, while God didn't take them on the shortest route to the promised land, was that the shortest route led them through hostile Philistine country. They were not prepared to encounter that level of hostility. They'd been in Egypt for multiple generations and had become, basically, to be honest, they had become soft. Even though they were slaves, they were fed. They kind of had life, I'll say, easy in some ways. They didn't have to fight any battles with other countries. They didn't have to deal with some of the things that they would have to deal with if they would have taken the short route. Yeah, Moses led them because they were kind of broken in spirit. They were slaves, and they had the slave mentality. They would have had to fight the Moabites, the Amalekites, and several other nations before they could get to Canaan itself. Well, God sometimes brings us the long way because we are not yet mentally, emotionally, or spiritually prepared to face what awaits us along the short route or at the end of that journey. God is preparing us, and God knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And it's easy for us to want to, let's get this done with. You know, enough of this trial. But God knows. And we have to trust. We have to come to the point where we have 100% trust that God, if anybody has our best interest in mind, our Father God does. A couple verses that you can look at are Deuteronomy 2:7. You don't have to turn there, but it says, "These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing." And in Philippians 4:19, we read, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." And in Matthew 6, verse 31 and 33, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We've read that all many times, and we've heard it said to us. And I know myself, there are times in my life where it's hard to just say, yeah, God, you know what you're doing. I have to surrender to you, and I have to just do it your way. It's the best way. God will provide for us as we need, as long as we focus on him. The second lesson was God wanted the Egyptians to know that he is the Lord. Though God had promised the Israelites that he would bring them out of Egypt, he was also concerned about the spiritual condition of the Egyptians. And look at Exodus 14, verse 4. It says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." Now, likewise, when God's dealing with us and he takes us the long way on the extended journey, he may have more than just us in mind. He may have others in mind, and he does have others in mind. Our trials along the way and how we handle them may be used by God for the good of those around us as well as us. God's plan is for all mankind and is for everyone. And we have to remember, and it's not easy always to do, it's not all about us. A third lesson that we can look at during the journey of the Israelites from leaving Egypt until they reached the promised land was God planned to show his people, the Israelites, his might in miraculous ways. When they were in Egypt, they witnessed the 10 plagues and what God brought upon the Egyptians for them, to allow Pharaoh to finally release them. But can you imagine being at the shores of the Red Sea and having Pharaoh's armies behind you coming down quickly, ready to overtake you? The fear that the ancient Israelites would have, and I would have to say each one of us would have if we were put in the same position. But as God told Moses, tell the people to move forward. Don't look behind. Move forward. I am with you. And what did God do? God had Moses raise his arm and the Red Sea's parted. If we had that type of trust every time, the Red Sea would part in front of us. And it has. Each one of us has had times in their life that they know that God has worked it out where certain circumstances, miraculous circumstances, have occurred. And things, the Red Sea has parted. Things have worked out. When humanly, there was no way they were going to work out. But we have to remember that. We can't be like the ancient Israelites who forgot so quickly all the miracles that they witnessed in their lives. And sure, you know, physically, I don't think any of us is going to see the Red Sea or the Lake Michigan part. Not that it couldn't happen, but I don't know. If there's a reason for it to part, God will do it. But, as I said, we've all witnessed things in our lives that if we thought about them, we would know that they were miracles worked by God to part the seas for us. A fourth lesson that we can learn is God wanted his children, the ancient Israelites, to know that there is no turning back. When they had crossed the Red Sea, God had Moses raise his hand once again when Pharaoh and his armies were in the midst of the Red Sea and had the waters collapse upon them. And they all drowned and died. It said every last one of them. Well, God has done the same thing as we've talked about with us. He has made situations in our lives just totally disappear. And he wants us to understand that no matter what happens to us on the journey moving forward, we have to keep moving forward and not look back. Sure, there were things about the world that kind of might try to draw us back into it. They were kind of pleasant for the temporary time being. But the lesson here is we can't do that. That has to be washed away, has to be buried, has to be drowned, just like it was the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea. In Numbers chapter 11, in verse 5, it says, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, and also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic." The ancient Israelites were thinking back about how good they had it in Egypt as slaves, and quickly forgot all the things that God had done for them to release them from Egypt, and also the promises that he had made of the land of milk and honey. And they needed to focus on looking forward, looking to the promises in the future, what lay behold before them. And we need to do the exact same thing. As we journey through our life of conversion, we are being transformed into a new creation. Just as the pre-emergent butterfly in the cocoon, we are vulnerable during this time. We need to learn to depend on God and Jesus Christ daily for everything, and resist the temptation to fondly reminisce about the way it used to be, about our old selves, about our former lives, living in sin. The length of the journey and all the experiences that we go through helps us to not turn back to our previous lives, enslaved to the forces of this world. The next lesson is God wanted to demonstrate to the Israelites that he could sustain them even in the wilderness. He miraculously supplied the ancient Israelites with a number of things as we read through the Bible. If you would turn to Exodus 16 with me, Exodus 16, we'll look at a number of those, number of ways that God sustained the ancient Israelites. Exodus 16, verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Here again we see the ancient Israelites murmuring, thinking back about how good they had it in Egypt. And how long was it since they had left Egypt? How quickly they forgot? We can be exactly that same way. We can forget very quickly the good things that God has brought to our lives. We can go on to verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Yep, they're thinking about all that, how good they had it in Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." We all know the story of the manna. God providing the manna on a daily basis to feed them. God didn't leave them in the wilderness alone by themselves. God was there every step of the way. He provided for them. He gave them what they needed. He expected them to learn the lessons by going through that experience. And then not so quickly forget his promises, that they would obey him, and if they did obey him, these would be the things that God would give them, the land of milk and honey. How quickly do we do that? How quickly do we have a blessing, and then it doesn't take very long before something happens, and we kind of forget about that blessing, and we're on to the, "Oh, woe is me." And I know it's not easy, but we have to find a way to get past that. And to pray to God that he will give us the strength, give us his Holy Spirit, so that we're not as quick to question the things that we go through. We understand that they're for our best, and we do our part. None of them are pleasant. This wasn't pleasant for the Israelites to be out in the desert, but it is what they were going through. If we turn to, you know, and also at the end of this is they talk about God providing the quail for meat also. So it wasn't only just manna that God provided. God provided protein also. And then in Exodus 17, verse 1, you don't have to turn there, but we're all aware of the story of water coming from the rock. So God provided water for them also. God was with them every step of the way, providing everything that they needed. It may not have been always what they wanted, but it was what they needed. God does the same for us. He wants us to radically, and I use that word emphatically, radically, we have to trust 100% in what we read in God's word and know that God has the best interest in mind. We need to rely on him so that he can demonstrate to us that he can provide anything that we may need, even in the toughest of times. God made promises to the ancient Israelites, and he kept them, all of them. God has made promises to us also, and we must come to know that he will keep them also. All of them. God never fails. The journey may be long. We may go through a lot, but we can't weary before we get to the end. A last lesson, and it's not the last lesson that we can learn from looking in the Bible and looking at their journey, but it's the last lesson that I'd like to get into today, and that is God wanted the ancient Israelites to trust in his leading. In the Bible, we read how the ancient Israelites had been delivered and sustained for 40 years. When they finally got to the promised land, they balked at entering the land that God had promised them. They went through that 40 years, through all those trials and everything else, and at the very last part of it, no, we can't do that. We're right on the precipice, but no, we can't do it. There's giants there. I mean, we don't know how to handle that. Without saying, our God can handle all of that. Doesn't matter what's there. God wants us to go into this land, we're going to go into this land. There were only two of those 12 spies that went, Joshua and Caleb, that said, we can do this. Not we can do this. We, with our God, can do this. We have to have that same attitude. It's not that we can do anything. We can't do anything by ourselves. We must have utmost trust in our Father, God, and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Let them lead the way, and we follow. 100%, no matter which way it turns, we follow them because we're following the promise, the promises that we've been given, the promise of eternal life in the kingdom of God. So today, we went over a number of lessons that we can learn from the journey of the ancient Israelites and how they may apply to our journey from having sin removed, which we're going through that time now with the Passover and Spring Holy Days. But that journey is the whole plan of all the Holy Days, from the beginning to the end, from Passover to the last great day. It's from the removal of sin, our conversion, and finally, the kingdom of God. So the first thing that we looked at was God knows what is good for us. And it's not always the shortest route. The second is God's plan is not only for us. God's plan is all for all of mankind. And we play a part in that, but it's not all about us. The next lesson is God frees us from sin and strengthens our trust in him. God showed his mighty power in parting the Red Sea and what he had done for the ancient Israelites. And he, if we look around us and see with spiritual eyes, can see the things that God does on a daily basis with us. And we can build trust from that. The next lesson is God wants us to move forward always. Don't look back. The promises are in front of us. Next is God wants us to rely on him completely. He had demonstrated that to the Egyptians. He took them into the utmost wilderness where there was nothing, and he provided everything for them, everything that they needed. God does the same for us. God wants us to follow his lead without waver, is the last lesson that we looked at today. He wanted a people who would trust in his leading and where he led and wouldn't question him and wouldn't question the path that he was taking. We must do the same thing. We must take the path that God has set us upon. And I know, personally, I can, just like everyone else, the journey at times seems very, very long and can be very weary and can get us down. We hear, you must endure to the end, and that is true. But one way to endure to the end is to understand what the meaning is and what the purpose is for all the things that we're going through on the journey. there to prepare us for that time in the future, that time of eternal life and the kingdom of God. And they help us to anticipate the deliverance on the great promises of our Father, God in heaven.